This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and thank you so much for starting off your day with us right here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Joyce Goh. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Han.
All right, it's Wednesday, September 19th, right at 6 a.m. Gonna give you a roundup of some stories that happened overnight. Let's start with some geopolitical news. The two Koreas kicked off the first of 3 days of talks. Of course, you got South Korean President Moon Jae-in meeting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un there. So it looks like those friendly ties on the peninsula are still being fostered despite the tensions, you know, when it comes to the broader region.
Yeah, and they're trying to manage expectations. They're saying that, you know, it's just the start of the summit and speedy results were unlikely. And I think the South Korean delegation are hoping to exchange views on how to secure a breakthrough on nuclear disarmament and, you know, of course, establishing permanent peace.
Yeah, we recall that meeting between US President Donald Trump with, Kim Jong-un there, right? And granted, there's been a lot of details, or question marks rather, about the details of any deal between the US and North Korea there. So likewise, this round of talks between the two Koreas, they are looking to manage expectations there. We'll see how that pans out. On a lighter note, in entertainment news, we had the Emmys overnight. Did you catch any of the Emmys last night?
No. Yeah, did you?
No, well, I mean, we were in bed here. No?
Yeah.
Not together, for the record, but we were in bed. To get ourselves ready for the show here. So yeah, a pretty interesting list there. So looks like there you've got a rather predictable list. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, actually, no. I'm one of the 0.1%.
Yeah.
Who do not watch? Do you not watch too?
Yeah, I don't really watch TV because, hey, I'm a radio guy here. But Game of Thrones, no, once again, winning its third Emmy for the drama series. And judging by some of the analysis that has come out of the show, looks like it's the same old for the for TV land.
Yeah, and I think Claire Foy, that's the actress for The Crown. I think she won best lead actress in a drama.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, that's one of the winners. And also there was a proposal.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
I mean, just judging my pictures that we're seeing from some of these articles here. A big winner from the Emmys, though, is Netflix, because they have now finally dethroned HBO as the most nominated network at this year's awards. When it came to actual awards that they won, apparently they were tied. So quite the rise there for Netflix.
Wow.
Considering that I think their first original series was back in 2012. With House of Cards. So, you know, here they are 6 years later, you know, giving HBO a run for their money. Now, onto some business news. We've got news on Tesla. Yeah, they are facing a US criminal probe over some statements made by Elon Musk. Now, apparently, this investigation had been going on for a while now, but given the recent tweet, or the relatively recent tweet by Elon Musk about the possibility of Tesla going private with some Saudi money, that prompted this piece of news here.
Yeah, so they're looking into a fraud investigation following that tweet. I think also this is this criminal probe is running alongside a previously reported civil inquiry by securities regulators.
Right.
So it looks like Elon Musk has called things to deal with currently.
Yeah, no, plenty of things to deal with, including sending the SpaceX's first moon tourist. We'll consider what these crazy rich people are up to. That's coming up right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Temptations with Papa Was a Rolling Stone. That hit track there from 1972 there. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh. None of us existed in 1972, maybe a decade or so later. It's 6:11 a.m. right now on this Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. And in about 5 years from now, Joyce, the world will see the first ever private tourist to the moon, thanks to Elon Musk's SpaceX. And that individual, that first ever private tourist to the moon, will be Japanese billionaire Yuzaku Maezawa.
Yeah, one lucky dude there. I think the mission you're saying is going to be in 2023. They're going to take, I think, about 6 to 8 artists from around the world on this nearly week long trip. So the question here is, I guess, you know, can money buy you happiness? Do you think I'll buy you this experience?
Well, I watched the press conference that Elon Musk had with Mr. Maezawa there. And, mm-hmm. you know, he, Yuzaku, was certainly very giddy with excitement there, although this flight is about 5 years away, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's talking about, well, should Elon Musk perhaps join him on that trip? And Elon was a little bit apprehensive there, I must say, you know. But, you know, looking at these stories, right, and all the lavishes and the experiences that these billionaires can indulge themselves in, you know, like, on one hand, you could say that for us laymen, it could breed discontentment. It's like, oh, life's not fair. You know, how is it that these elite few, that 0.1% of the world, can treat themselves to such luxuries? You know, then where do we find the happiness then? Or, you know, do we have to kind of temper our expectations when it comes to finding our own so-called trips to the moon?
Well, hon, you know, there's this study that show that, you know, actually, at the end of the day, it's about how you spend your money. You know, that there's this research that says that, you know, if you don't spend it right, then maybe that is why you're not happy. And there are three things according to this article, that says that, you know, there are three domains where money can potentially buy deeper contentment. Mm-hmm. And that is where a lot of rich people spend their money on. And you'll be surprised, you know, a lot of it is intangible, not tangible things, right. Not material things. So there's one of it is experiences. Another one is other people. And also time. Time, in a way, as you buy things that are convenient, that helps you save time.
Right.
Yeah. So these are three potentially things that are what research is saying that could help you get deeper contentment.
All right. So you've got, you know, billionaire level, the Elon Musks, yeah. and
crazy rich Asian level.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That level. Then, okay, then you've got people who have those kind of monies who can you know, spend it on experiences, other people, and then time. But then what happened to the old adage about, you know, money can't buy you happiness, right? It's being able to find joy in the simple things of life that may not necessarily require you to part with your hard earned cash, right? You know, so what happened to the merits of that argument? And as opposed to constantly striving for, you know, I need to make more money so that I can either fly to the moon or, you know, buy myself these conveniences, time, other people, or experiences.
That's why when it comes to, I think some people don't, they think that, oh, you need to make a lot of money to get material things. But actually, like experiences, you don't necessarily need to spend a lot of money to buy experiences. You can make experiences or go through experiences with your friends. I don't know. I mean, and also like on other people, is spending time with other people, going out or like some people take major holidays with their friends, but actually you can just go hang out at mama, have a tatare, have a good conversation, and that's good enough.
And you know, I was actually having a good conversation with a friend recently, and this phrase came up whereby comparison is the killer of all joy, you know. So like, you know, seeing what others have that you may not have, you know, and comparing experiences, for example, or even comparing, you know, how busy we are in our lives versus how other people just seem to be able to live the Tai Tai life, right? Like you, Joyce.
Yeah, I'm up at 4 in the morning. What Tai Tai life is that?
Right, you know, so it's, you know, being able to at least find contentment in your everyday life. And, you know, ultimately, I guess that is where you find that happiness. Well, that's me personally, as cliche as that sounds. But hey,
I think it's true.
Yeah?
I think that's true.
All
yeah.
right. Well, I'm so glad I got your approval there, Joyce. Let us know what you think. You can join this conversation all morning long. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know what you think. And right, when you see the Elon Musks and also the Yusaku Maezawas of the world, and then versus where you are right now, how do you find a contentment in your everyday life? All right, we'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Pretenders with Talk of the Town. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Joyce Goh. It's coming up to 22 minutes past 6 a.m. It's Wednesday, Hum Day, September 19th. We're going to take you all the way up till 10 a.m. this morning. You can always be part of this conversation. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we've got this story here in the Straits Times. That's the Singapore's Straits Times. You know, perhaps suggesting that, you know, we may be taking cleanliness for granted to a certain extent. Or actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I should say that, you know, perhaps we don't care so much about cleanliness. According to this study, you know, they have identified everyday household items such as your toothbrush, your phones, of course, and even ice for your drinks, how they may be dirtier than your toilet. And of course, you know, everything gets compared to the toilet. It looks like the toilet is a lot cleaner than some of these items that we not just consume, but also, you know, literally put right on our faces, right? I mean, and so the question is, look, this is not something new per se. I've read and heard of other such studies. But the question is, how do we respond to these sets of data? Right, you know, because is it enough to really alter your life? Because I'm thinking we have been doing this for years now or decades now and never really had to spare a thought about it. So when confronted with these information, is that enough to alter your lifestyle?
Well, not really, hun, but I guess it is a good wake-up call. When I read this, I was like, oh yeah, actually the phone. Because the number of times that you're touching your phone and you put it in your bag and you don't realize, I mean, where it goes and how often you put it to your face, right? And how often do you clean it? So this article says that, you know, a typical cell phone user touches his or her phone every day about 2,600 times. An extreme cell phone user touches it about 5,400 times, because that's like per day, right? And mm-hmm. every day. And only 35% of people researched who surveyed with this says that they've never cleaned their phones with wipes or anything. So actually, it's pretty a big proportion there, about 1 in 20.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess, like you said, you know, the information's out there. We've every day, I mean, how long have we had a cell phone for, right? And does that impact our lives? But I guess it's just a good wake-up call. It's just, like, in a way, it tells you, oh yeah, actually, it's something that we should look into. And even toothbrushes.
Yeah, toothbrushes as well. But going back to the phones, right? I mean, what's the alternative then? You take a wet wipe with you every time you use the phone and you wipe it down after every single use, or you don't take it into non-sanitary areas, you know, like, but because, well, for fear of revealing too much about myself, you know, I take my phone with me everywhere I go, and by everywhere, I mean everywhere, right? So, you know, but when, again, given this information, you know, it doesn't really faze me anymore, unless if it presents some kind of, you know, real risk to my life, you know, then we're talking. But until then, you know, it's we risk almost becoming blasé about, you know, our health and safety, especially when being confronted with this kind of information, right? I mean, drinks, for example. I recall I entertained some friends from Australia, and we went to just a regular fast food chain, and they ordered their drinks. Right, and they specifically said no ice. I was thinking, okay, well, that's kind of odd not to drink your soda with no ice. But then I said, oh no, we've been hearing stories about how Malaysian ice is just contaminated, and we don't want to have that in our systems. And here I am just chugging away on my soda with ice, and, you know, not having a care in the world, right? So I guess, you know, to a certain level, to a certain extent, ignorance is bliss.
True. I agree, but sometimes also it's good to have the information out there. I recall there was this time there was this whole hand, foot and mouth. The cases were rising a lot. And eventually it was traced down to the shopping trolleys in Penang, you know, because the cases kept going up and up, and they managed to trace down the culprit, which was shopping trolleys in a supermarket. Mm. And ever since then, you'll see parents, me included, every time wiping down the shopping trolley with antibacterial wipes. Never before this. Like, we take for granted, like, oh, you know, you just take a cart and then just plumb your baby at the shopping trolley and you're off shopping. Mm. But ever since that information came out, until today, I'm wiping down shopping trolleys when we go shopping.
Right,
with antibacterial wipes.
Okay, as a parent, is there such a thing as, like, excessive wiping down, excessive cleanliness?
I think, yeah. So there's this whole, there are two theories to it. Some parents believe that if you overclean and all that, then the kids are not exposed to the germs to build up their immunity. Whereas there are others who believe, oh, you should minimize as much, you know, you should clean as much as you can to prevent them from getting all these germs. So I don't know, but for me, it's like sometimes
better safe than sorry.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
All right. Well, again, let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. That's the number to WhatsApp. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. The question is, you know, when you're faced with these conflicting or this deluge of information and data, you know, how do you best respond? You react to every single single set of data, or perhaps, you know, some level of ignorance is totally fine. Let us know what you think. We're coming up to the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin with Sabrina Magdalene there. But first, it's A Shame About Ray by the Lemonheads right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Luna by the Bombay Bicycle Club, all right? Here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9, I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh. It's now 41 minutes past 6 a.m. Joyce, look, we had this pretty shocking story that we got wind of, I think yesterday afternoon or so, right?
Around lunchtime.
Around lunchtime, yeah. Look, news that the Attorney General of Malaysia had resigned, but turned out it was fake news. It didn't really happen. Well, actually, I shouldn't use the term fake news there, but it turns out that the information there was wrong. And so the online portal there had to retract that story and apologize to the Attorney General. So yes, folks, our Attorney General remains as Tommy Thomas. And in fact, if you pick up a copy of today's Edge Financial Daily, they've got a two-page spread, pages 16 and 17, with an interview with the Attorney General, you know, following his first 100 days in office. And look, here's the thing, right? You know, this phenomenon of, you know, breaking news and then portals having to retract it, that's not new, because we've just been inundated with, you know, breaking news or so-called breaking news, and I'm using air quotes here, right? You know, so it ultimately comes down to trust, right? Because it's not just news portals, it's what we see on social media, it's also hearsay. And you would think that all these types of, you know, false information seeks to only contribute to the widening trust deficit, right? Now, ultimately, I think the question that's very pertinent for us here, not just today, but also, you know, in the future, as we stay vigilant against these kind of risks, is, I mean, as simple as, who do you trust?
Yeah, Han, that's why I feel it's really important for media platforms and just media in general to make sure you get your facts right, you know. And I must say, in this day and age, with so many media platforms out there, the chase and the urgency is to get the story out there first. But you need to make sure that it is correct as well. That's why it's very important when we first learn in the newsroom as a junior reporter, is verify. You need to make sure. And when it's a news break, it's, I mean, from my personal experience, you can't just hear it from one person. You have to check with a few people just to make sure. And there's always this unspoken rule in the newsroom back in the age, where you can't just go with one source, right? You need to check with a few sources, and then there'll be further checks as well within the newsroom with their other sources, and from there you run the story. Of course, speed and accuracy, these two things are the most important when it comes to a news break.
Well, there we go, right? And it seems like one could put to risk the other, right? Especially in this very competitive media landscape that we are in right now, you know, low margins, you got to find that edge, and very often that edge will be speed, right? You go out there with that story first, right? And you would think, again, broadly speaking, that that could put to risk the accuracy, because in order to verify with multiple sources, wait for them to get back to you, that's going to take time and resources, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So, okay, I mean, but that's on the media practitioner side, but what about media consumers, though? I want to kind of shift the conversation towards that, because again, you're just being fed so much information from
different platforms,
social media, your peers,
well,
WhatsApp, right? So again, right, you know, is there a way to filter out, you know, what's true and what's not, beyond just just going with the gut instinct, I think.
Yeah, and sometimes do you kind of like shut that out? Because sometimes it's just too many things, right? You don't check everything. You tend to, like, even on WhatsApp groups, sometimes I must admit, I do not have enough time to check everything. So for some of them, it's muted. And then I'll go back and check back on the group when I can.
Yeah, and then I guess you risk losing out. But you raise a really good point there, you know, whereby then you become lethargic. Perhaps maybe even disengage from, you know, what's going on in around you. And then that's the risk, right? You know, because you are less trusting of the information that's being fed to you, right? And again, I'm not just picking on the online portal that published that story there. No, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, although they messed up here. But, you know, I wouldn't say this is the exception. We have seen these instances several times now, right? But then as a media consumer there, you know, on one hand, you want to safeguard yourself, right?
And save time.
Right.
Because you need time, right, to go on every other platform to read it, to scroll through your Twitter feed. You know, even who to follow, sometimes you have to be a bit more picky. Because sometimes if you follow too many people, it takes up time as well.
And whether the ultimate onus is on you to actually verify the news that was supposed to have been verified already, as opposed to being able to trust these so-called media sources, right? Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Just want to thank Kevin Young and also Ikmal there for your WhatsApps and tweets. Ikmal was responding to a topic that we mentioned earlier. He calls me out saying, hey, who said money can't buy happiness? Money can buy happiness only if we spend it on others, not on ourselves. All right, Ikmal, very selfless listener over there. You get 2 gold stars. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the upcoming PKR polls and, well, the PD by-election, and you know whether or not the party has a duty to send out a message about loyalty, you know, versus allowing for multiple camps to kind of live under the same umbrella. That's coming up right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Blue Lights by Block Party here on The Morning Run. It's 8 minutes till 7 a.m. on this lovely Wednesday, September 19th. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Joyce Goh. I want to thank Yasmin also for weighing in about the conversations that we had earlier. Look, you can always be part of this conversation. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Oh, yeah, we already thanked Kevin and Akmal, right? Mm. Yep, so thanks to Yasmin. Has been as well.
Thank you.
So we've got PKR polls coming up, and ahead of the party polls and also the Port Dickson by-election, you've got PKR President-elect Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, who's reminding party members, that's PKR, to pick leaders who were loyal to the party's struggle ahead of the polls, and also think about the party and not focus on their own personal ambitions or agendas. That's a message that Dato Sri Anwar is giving to the rest of PKR. You know, but then when it comes to, say, loyalty to the party, because we have seen plenty of party hopping over, the last 3 months or so. And just yesterday, you got Tokpa, who has since left UMNO, right? And we'll get more into that later on in the show in about 15 minutes or so, right? You know, the idea of being loyal to a certain political party, company, right? You know, is that, are the merits of loyalty actually waning right now?
Well, and also there's this question as well, Han, on how important is loyalty when it comes to an organization or a party as well, right? Politics, yep, and all that. Well, it depends, I guess. When it comes to loyalty, sometimes, I mean, it's great. You think that, oh, this person's loyal to the company, they've stayed really long with the company or in this case with the party. But sometimes there's this flip side to it as well. Some people feel that if a person's been there too long, loyalty is good, but sometimes they've been there too long, they become little Napoleons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Like they become territorial. They become, oh, I'm an old god. I've been here long enough. I deserve to, be in this position. And who are you to question me? It's so their flip side. Loyalty is great, but sometimes it can be bad as well.
Yeah, but you often hear of stories about how, say, companies are out there chasing their own goals, perhaps at the expense of your personal ambitions, right? You know, you may want to do A, B, and C, but ultimately it's got to be subservient to what the company wants or to what the team wants. And you are seeing that discourse also playing out in the political space, right? It's not about you. It's about what the party, and i.e. by extension, those at the upper echelons of the party's hierarchy, so to speak, right? So at what point do you then cut your losses and say, you know what, I got to look out for number one, right? Ourselves,
okay.
Right? Number one, right? Because, we see that very often in, especially the workplace, that's a criticism against millennials. Oh, there's no loyalty, and then they move on. But then on the flip side, you are saying, well, if they cannot find their way up the hierarchy, it's a very tedious process, and if I can find another and a quicker route, then why not? I mean, is that seen as less meaningful or less virtuous compared to actually being loyal? And I'm using air quotes there, loyal to that particular company.
Yeah, true. Because I think that, that culture has changed when it comes to the work environment. Again, also, there's this question as well when it comes to loyalty. Is there such a thing as good loyalty or bad loyalty? Some people, they tend to... They feel that, oh, I've worked up the ladder, I've been here long enough, the seniority, I've gotten my whole, I don't know, little Napoleon again, right? So to start all over again, you know, sometimes it may be tough. And they tend to want to, oh, I would rather be loyal to the company, and in turn, I have my own territory, my own turf in the company. Yeah, so I guess... In my opinion, I think there's good loyalty and bad loyalty.
You know, but at the same time, no, I also think that those who actually call for loyalty, you know, have that ulterior motive anyways, right? They say, hey, you got to be loyal to the company. And then the udang sebalik batu is, well, make my life easier. Stick around, just do your job and keep your head down, right? You know, because you know, I would like to think that in an ideal world, these transactions are mutually beneficial, right? These relationships are mutually beneficial. And you would like to think that that extends into the political realm as well. But obviously, given the realities that we're seeing, that is not exactly the case. Well, let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. How important is loyalty to an organization? Not just in the business world, but also in politics. You can also join the conversation, tweet us at BFM Radio. All right, we've got Sabrina Magdalene Poise at the mic, set to bring you the 7 a.m. news bulletin in under 3 minutes from now. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.